Father, we thank you for this message today. We're looking to you. We're settling ourselves into the Holy Ghost. We're listening. Each of us have things we want to hear. And as I prayed earlier, we're looking to a supply of the Spirit to give each of us what we need today for right now, for this day, and the coming days. It'll set us in a motion. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to turn to James chapter 1, as I said, Pastor asked me to follow up on the message on the power of patience, and it really is a power message. I know it's not something you like to hear a lot about. The flesh doesn't really like to hear, you know, about patience because you want it now. You know, wait is a four-letter word to the flesh, but it is something that we need to operate in, and hopefully you'll be a doer of the word. And a lot of what I'm going to do today is using a lot of the same scripture I used 8 weeks ago. But you know what I found out is, frankly, if I've been meditating on certain scriptures over a year right now, and not particularly on this, but on other scriptures I meditate on, and I'm thinking to myself, am I just, I'm not shallow. Am I too routine on this? But every time, it's like life comes. Like I said, I only mentioned about, we ought to think about that he's alive every morning before we go out and into the day. And I was thinking, I mean, yeah, when those sudden thoughts come, maybe I'm the only one, but he comes in and says, how are you going to pay this today? How are you going to do that? And you just have to think about the Word and settle yourself down and realize, hey, now this is who I am in the Word. But I meditate on these scriptures, and now he does take me in different directions, but it's like, you know, over a year on certain, maybe a number of scriptures, you can just, like, you're squeezing the juice out of it. The Word is alive. So what if I preach the same message to you I did 8 weeks ago, and I'm not, you'd still get something out of it. Because, you know, I'll tell you what, studying on patience, I don't want to say it's one of the most difficult things I've done, but I'll tell you, I had to fight this thing, like, to get it to just not, don't take that the wrong way, but it's one of the things that it didn't come real easy in the Spirit to minister. So he'd pull on this thing. I need your help today. This is not, you know, if you don't get something out of this, it's not my fault, it's yours. Because we're in this, you got to pull on the anointing. You're anointed to hear, and I'm anointed to hear and to preach, to minister this. So we don't want to just do this in vain, but there will be some repetition. I'm going to move into some other areas, Lord willing. But we're just going to go in the Spirit and settle down. Hey, I found my Bible. Don't you find her Bible? All we need is light to see it's underneath the notebook. Praise God. So James chapter 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's King James. I wrote in my Bible, tests, trials, pressure. And we've all faced this. But can you do that? Can you count it joy? Well, if he said you can, he said you're supposed to do it. That's instruction from God on high. Which means we can do it. We need to do it. We can count it all joy. It's not all fun and games every day, as we well know. I guess it's like fun and games in D.C. right now. But then yet, you know, we get critical of that, and we make fun maybe of any of the leaders down there. But, you know, I always come back to thinking about what Brother Hagin told, I mean, what the Lord told Brother Hagin in a vision when Jesus appeared to him. About Watergate, he said, I'm going to hold the church responsible back in the 70s about Watergate. So that kind of straightens you up a bit, realizing we better be praying. And Darlene mentioned this the other day, a house divided will fall. We don't want our country going by the wayside. It's not. But we need to stand up and pray and get the knuckleheads out of the way and get things done. So anyway, it's not all fun and games. There's pressure in life, as we well know. The church right now is going through things I've never seen. I mean, I don't mean this church. I mean a church at large. People, am I wrong? Have you experienced things, pressures you haven't ever in the past? I think it's getting more intense. But that means to me, that's hey, we're in the game. This is good news. We can win this thing with joy. And I've always been that way. When the pressure's on, I'm ready to go, man. Let's go with this thing. Let's win, because that's when the most opportunities are. But in the Greek. The word count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Temptations in the Greek, it means a putting to proof. By experiment, proving this thing out. So can this response be joy? Well, obviously it can be. And I got to tell you, within the last week, I've missed it on this big time. I had wonderful opportunities to act on this. You know, when somebody's just nitpicking at you, then there's another pressure come at you, then there's this thing here financially, then there's this. And I had wonderful opportunity to just... And I knew it. I heard this. I heard it in my spirit. I heard it here even, in my head. Just laugh. Just get in joy. Did I do that? No. I'm talking to you, but I'm telling you, I didn't do it until later. I did. I got the victory then, but I say we did. But in that one moment, and then the Lord's dealt with me on this, I could have turned that whole thing a lot quicker and a lot easier if I'd have just acted on it. But you know, that taught me something. This takes practice. This takes... You're not going to hear the message 8 weeks ago and hear it today and do this without operating and becoming a doer of it. And this is why, you know, it takes meditation in the Word. You got to set down roots. You got to meditate on this thing. And I don't mean Eastern religion meditation. You know what I mean? Thinking about the Word, talking the Word. And I've never had an experience ever as far as more intense time in the Lord in meditating than I am right now. Things are turned up. It's available to all of us. We can just hear from heaven. But so can you respond to these tests, these trials, these pressures in joy? Yes, we can. It takes knowing to do it, though. It takes a conscious effort and practice. You know, Pastor talked about practice in the military, so they knew what to do in Vietnam. You know, you go over and over and over, so when you're in combat, you just automatically do it. Then I realized a lot of the church... when I say church, I don't mean you individually. I'm talking about the church. A lot of the church is just a bunch of lazy people who wouldn't want to even do it. At least, I think each of us in here have desire to do it. Whether we take the time and do it is another thing, but we have desire. There's people out there, and you know them, and I know them. They don't even want to do it. You wonder if they are Christians. But carnal people act like they feel. Oh, me. You know, if they're sad, they act sad. If they're mad, they act mad. You know, like the girl at the Haagen-Dazs thing. It's not the Philadelphia outlets. We're coming over the shore, and, you know, I was going to get mad. I wanted my ice cream. I don't even eat ice cream much, but I wanted my ice cream. And she had the wrong thing. And I said, no, I don't want that. Why? I'm a baby, you know. So we've all acted carnal, and... You know, but we got to get over it. Spiritual people act like they believe, though. Not like we feel. We act like we believe. It doesn't matter what the five physical senses are telling us. Spiritual people act on what they believe. Spiritual people can be challenged, and they'll still shout for joy. And I'm not putting myself down about in the last week. There's many times that I do automatically move into that joy. I'm just telling you, I'm a real person. You're a real person. I'm not staying up here aloof. You know, we all miss it. So... Yes, a spiritual person can feel like slapping somebody and yet have a nice, soft tone and speak to them. That's where we need to be at. Now, don't get me wrong. There's times people need to be told, management needs to be told, or certain people need to be told in a nice way. You know, there's something wrong here. You need to fix this. But I'm not talking about mamby-pamby stuff. I'm talking about just operating in the spirit, not losing control. You know, I've already told somebody, and they didn't realize it until probably an hour later. I've sliced them up, down, and sideways, and they didn't realize it. There's a way of telling somebody that they get it, but they don't realize they're getting it until later, and then it dawns on them. You know, there's a way of doing things in the spirit. So when you're in the middle of these challenging situations, you know, what are we going to do? How can we operate in joy? Well, the next verse tells you. It says, verse 2, my brethren, count all joy and fall into diverse temptations, tests, trials, pressures. How are we going to do this? Knowing this, we know something. I really focused on this last time. We know something. We have inside information. The world out there, they look at external stuff. They look at the government shutdown. They look at the economy. They look at Obamacare, whether you like it or not. They look at all these things of chaos, because I think the name of the devil's game right now is divide and conquer and just get in turmoil. The world looks at the external factors and throws up their hands and thinks, what's the use? You know, let's move to France. And then you think, oh, no, we're not moving to France. But we have inside information. We have the Holy Ghost. And as I said, you meditate in the Word of God. take the word and live on it, feed on it like you're eating, and he will show you the answers. He'll show you things to do. And I can tell you honestly, I could be facing some of the... Well, I told you before, when I had to go to Chicago, I've had 200 hours already in. I'm physically pretty much drained, and I got to go to Chicago, spend another 100 hours, and submit my demo, which was 246 pages, I think. I actually came out of my spirit thanking God, saying thank you that I can be in this situation. And I wasn't just saying it by saying it. This came up out of me. Before the 2-day exams, I said, you know, 2 8-hour days of exams, I said, Lord, thank you that I can be in this position. And that had to be out of my spirit. So we once you know something, it'll come up out of there. And this is what I mean about the pressure situations. And we'll talk about this a bit later, and it's one of the main things I think the Lord wants to get to today. But in a pressure situation, there is more opportunity than in the normal situation. There's more opportunity to glorify God. And you want to take that opportunity and use it and do it. So knowing this, reading on there in verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith works patience. The NIV, I have that somewhere, I'll get to that. But the trying of your faith works something. This is a test, you know, this is a trial, so to speak. You're on trial. And I'm not saying that the trial is making you strong. If you don't apply patience, the trial could kill you. You know, look at the children children of Israel in the wilderness. It killed them, except for a few. And it wasn't to teach them anything. They just didn't get it. You know, the trial is not of God to teach you something. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Get that straight. Jesus said, I'm coming that you might have life and have it in abundance. God is good. The devil's bad. We know this. But so in a trial, life and death, or just a situation where I'm going for a designation that I'm attaining in the Spirit of God that He wants me to do. In a situation of pressure, you must apply patience. And let's define patience. Patience, one of the best words is endurance. Steadfastness, endurance. And it says count it all joy. So it's cheerful endurance. We need to stay over on the joy side because Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I can tell you, last week when that issue happened, it was like bing, bing, bing. It was coming at you, multiple attacks on both of us. We needed the strength of the joy of the Lord. We needed strength. So you say, well, how does joy equivalent to strength? Well, it does. The Bible says it does. And, you know, I just heard a testimony recently about somebody that got in a cancer victim, got in joy and started feeling better. I've heard of people that put on the Three Stooges when they were sick and it helped them to get whole. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm not advocating that, by the way, but so we know this. But patience and faith go together. It says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We'll come back to that then. So patience is not, it's not a passive waiting, just kind of seeing what's going to happen because there's nothing I can do about it. It's not some passive, you're uncontrollable. I mean, there's nothing you can do to control it. That's not patience. Patience is enduring, but it's patiently enduring cheerfully. It's knowing you already have the victory. You know, let's say you're sick in your body, but you know, or you should know if you go on here, the Word of God says, by His stripes you were healed, and all kind of multiple references of healing. There is no question in my mind anymore about healing. Healing is absolutely positive of the will of God. It is never, ever, ever, and you gotta get this way, I think you are, never the will of God for sickness to be on you. He'll never, ever put sickness on anybody to teach him anything. You have to know that. So, you know that. Now, you receive that. Say you've got an attack on your body, like, you know, Mike did, or any of us have had. We believe, we receive, we take it. Whether I told you before, the detached retina, I wasn't in a position where my faith was to believe God to not go to emergency care. Some people may be able to do that. And, you know, I'm strong in faith on healing, but, you know, to me, that's where the medical establishment shines, in emergency care. In fact, they were going to move me immediately to surgery, but they didn't have any openings, any rooms. But okay, so you believe you receive your healing. Let's say it's not that drastic. It's a headache. All right? So you believe, you receive it. You apply faith and patience. You got your faith out there. I'm not saying you wait till you get healed. Don't take that wrong. I'm not saying you wait till you get your money, your finances. You believe God for the finances. I'm not saying you wait till you get it. I'm saying you better have it in faith in the realm of the Spirit. Ed talked about the spiritual realm the other week. It's more real than the natural realm. And if you've got it in the spirit realm, it has to manifest in this realm if you stay with it. This is what you have to know, knowing something. You know this. It has to manifest. I don't care if you believe God, if He told you to believe for $1 million so you can do this. If He told you to do it, you believe, you receive it, you sow towards it. It has to manifest if you don't quit. Now, when you believe for something that's big for you, you know, nothing's too big for God. But if you believe for something, your faith is at $1,000 level and you're believing for $1 million, you can do that. But you better be prepared to stand long. This is what I'm talking about, patience, cheerful endurance. But my point is, okay, the old headache example, okay, I can get rid of a headache fast, but let's say it's hanging on. Well, I know God has healing for me, and I have accepted, I've taken it, so I am the healed. Now I'm going to operate in joy till that thing is manifest, so to speak, or I have it in my hand, $1 million. So look at Abraham. I mean, decades before he saw the child. You know, you believe God for $1 million, you may have to wait how many years? I don't know. But if you know that God spoke it to you, and you know what you're doing, by the way, you can't not meditate on the Word, you can't not be in the Word, or you're going to lose that quick. You know, the Word is life to us. We eat physical food. We go to Fuddruckers and have burgers. I mean, we eat physical food. Mike and I were somewhere the other night and stopped there. Physical food for your body. You do mental things, like I'm on a course of study in the appraisal world for, you give mental strength, you know. But spiritually, we have to be fed the Word of God, and I'm saying daily, you know, daily feed. I need daily feeding of the Word, or I get kind of ornery, you know. I need to meditate the Word, and if I do, I'm set. You know, I'm supposed I could meditate the Word and get set for the week, but I don't want to. I like to eat every day. I like to eat three times a day. So we need that spiritual strength. So if we're believing for something that's big out here, that's all right. It's better to believe where you're at. But if God's put something in your heart, you know, it's a long-range vision, stay with it. But you got to feed yourself. You got to have that strength. If God told you to go run 20 miles and then you didn't eat for 3 days, you got to make it? Not likely. So well, you know something. You already know how it's going to turn out. This is something that the church has so much dropped the ball on. And we've all done it. But this is a time where we're moving out of this realm. We've dropped the ball on some things that He told us to do. We know we have it. Stick with it. Stay with it. Stay on it. You're going to get it. You have to know. You know, I've been in situations where it looks so bleak. Like, why am I doing this on the MAI designation? Or why am I doing this on something else? Or how are we ever going to do this? And it looks like naturally there is absolutely no way. But then you get in the Word and you say, yeah, I can do this. I can do this because I can do it through Christ, through the anointing which strengthens me. I can do this because you feed yourself. And after a while, what look like impossibilities looks like, sure, we can do this. Look how far you've come in the last year or two. Look how far you've come, where you can believe now. And where you were. I believe everybody in here is in that situation. But patience is cheerful endurance. It's steadfastness. That's one of the best definitions. Gloria Copeland, I mentioned this the other time, says, faith takes whatever you need, and patience keeps it. So what things ever you desire when you pray, believe, you receive, and that's take it. Take it. And you'll have it. So faith takes what you need. You've got it. That's what I'm trying to get at. You're not waiting to get healed. You are the healed. You've got it. The Word gives it to you. You're not waiting. You know, in the Amplified it says, faith is a title deed. If I believe for a car, I've got the title deed to it in the realm of the Spirit. You know, I'm not physically driving it yet. Faith takes it. Believe you receive it. And patience keeps it. So you can meditate on something to the point where you actually, I mean, I can see things that I've got. And in the realm of the Spirit, you just know you've got it. But again, I've got to keep that before me. I keep the Word in me when the pressure, when the devil comes, and you know, again, if I go a day, a couple days, a week, or, and I don't do this, but used to be, you know, you go a while and you're not focused on the realm of the Spirit, on the Word of God. You get weak. I get weak in the realm of the Spirit. I'm not fed. And it's so easy then for the devil. He'll take advantage of any little thing. And he'll get on there and say, you're not going to get that. And if you start saying, yeah, I'm not going to get that, man, you've had it. Got to get back on that. So, oh, here it is. The NIV, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And I like that because my grandmother used to say, persevere and win. As a young boy, I worked on the farm there. Even before that, she was babysitting me. She'd say, persevere and win. And as I grew up, she'd keep saying, persevere and win. My sister, 10 years younger, she'd run around saying, persevere and veer, persevere and veer. You know, I still remind her that. But persevere and win. Perseverance, it'll put you there. Cheerful endurance. Enduring what? You're enduring the passage of time. You're enduring the contradictory circumstances. You know, granted, you're going to... seems like sometimes you believe God and just the opposite of what you want happens. Well, cheer up. You're enduring cheerfully contradictory circumstances. You're enduring everything that's telling you it's not working, it's not going to happen. You have to endure that. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We've got to have faith and patience. We've got to have it tied together. Kenneth Copeland calls them the power twins. You have no more faith than you have patience. And you know, our flesh doesn't want to hear that. Oh, I'm a big faith man. Well, you have no more faith than you have patience. Do you think when they told me, in fact, I told you this, the pastor took me when I initially had the appointment up in Hershey because Darlene had the business running, couldn't go. And we thought, well, it's going to get checked out here. Believe in God. Everything's going to be fine. And they said to me, I could tell the nurse looked at something and she said, oh, she went right out of the room. And then the surgeon comes in and says, how long ago did you eat? I know what's happening here now. And like I said, they'd have put me in surgery immediately. Because they say, don't wait. And if you ever have an issue with your eye, don't wait. Don't wait. But where was I going with that? Oh, faith and patience. You know, how do you think I felt when she said to me, well, there are no surgical rooms today. We're going to put you in, was it tomorrow morning, the next morning? Man, I had to go home that day and keep myself together. Thinking, what are they going to do here? What's going on? And I got to, well, I'll tell you what, I was in the middle of the Southwest Believers Convention. It was August at that time. I had it on live on the internet, and I kept feeding myself, keeping the devil at bay as far as any kind of pressure. Kept feeding. And I'll tell you what, in fact, I had just ministered here, not here, but the other building, on healing the Sunday before all this happened. And thank God, because I was built up in that realm. So praise God. But when you, okay, I'm in faith, I'm healed, and then you get the bad news. So now you apply patience. And I'm not talking about, oh, woe is me, let's see, I can wait and I'll hold out to the end. No, I'm talking about, I found a scripture that said, by his stripes I'm healed. I found other scriptures that showed me I'll be thorough. Patience will make me whole with no defects. And I thought, well, I'm not going to have any defects. Cheerful endurance. So Romans 8, is that where I told you? Yeah, are you there? And in Romans 8, 24, but in 23, it tells us that we're talking about the redemption of our body. You know, our full redemption comes when Jesus comes back and we get our glorified body. He's talking about this, but we're going to use it as an example. In verse 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? You see it. You don't have to hope for it. You see it. It's in your hand. The money's in your hand. The healing's in your body. You've got the deliverance. It's there. You don't have to be in faith or hope anymore. But if we hope for what we see not, verse 25, then do we, with patience, wait for it. So the amplifier of that says, but if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. You know, hope is earnest expectation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So, you know, once you've got it in your hand, you don't have to use faith anymore. You've got the thing. But until you see it, you have received it, but until you see it, you wait for it with patience and composure. You don't have to just believe God. You believe God until. You know, you can believe God like a house of fire, they say, for a month or two, and then quit, and you know what you get? You get the same thing as if you didn't even believe God. But the good news is, you could pick it up. Now, if God told you, I want you to believe that you won't have this issue in your body anymore. And you think, well, I just got to live with this issue, whatever it is, heart disease, diabetes, whatever it is. But God said, no, you don't have to do that. Well, you know from the Word you don't have to. You take it from the Word, and you are on this thing. All of a sudden, you hear Kenneth Hagin from way back on the teaching tape. All of a sudden, you listen to Pastor Ed about healing. All of a sudden, you get a revelation. Hey, dude, I can do this is for me. And man, you're on it. And this is, you know, young Christians get this way. Man, we're on fire. We're young. We're going to do this. We're on this. And that's great. Zeal or zeal. Whatever the hell you say it. Zeal, zeal. But then, you know, it goes a week. Then it goes 2 weeks. Then it goes a month. Then it goes 2 months. And you think, well, yeah, okay. All of a sudden, the fire goes out. And you've let it go. And there's some people in here let things go. I know it because of the way I minister. I know right now there's people in here, God has dealt with you in the past and you've let it go. Well, you can pick it up. You can pick it up right where you left off. Don't think, well, I totally blew it. It's all gone. I can't. No, you just get back in faith and applied patience, cheerful endurance. If you've heard from heaven. Now, if you think that you've heard from heaven and, like, I'm going to own every house in the city of Lebanon. You didn't hear from heaven. Forget it. You're not going to get it. Don't try and apply patience. That's not going to work. You know what I'm talking about. You hear from heaven. Abraham heard from God. He said, I'll bless you. I'll make you a blessing. And your name will be great. And about he talked about his seed. He hung on to that for 25 years. And that's what I'm talking about. So we have to have some depth, some root. You know, I heard somebody say the other night again, when you meditate the Word, or when you put down roots of faith, things are happening. You just don't see a root growing, do you? But things are happening. You know, if things didn't happen, you never get any cucumbers or, you know, tomatoes, because the roots are underground. And that's the most important thing in a plant. I'm a horticulture major, and I'm a real estate appraiser, but I know some things about plants. And if I know what I don't know, I ask my wife. She's got the green thumb. So we got to be able to hang on, because sometimes it goes long. I like Dick Winters, who said, the Band of Brothers, he said, hang tough. You know, if those guys in a war can hang tough, my word, we here, when we're trying to get this or trying to get that, we can hang tough. This is, you know, in a sense that we are in a life and death situation. You know, we talk about this a lot. Where you go to church, man, we're blessed here. Where you go to church is a life and death. I know, we listen to some people we know that are Christians that are absolutely, you think, you want to take a 2x4 and, that's not nice either, but you want to get their attention. What are you talking about? Are you born again? Do you know anything? Well, but we're in this church and I feel good about this. Yeah, you feel good about it. You'll feel about 6 foot under if you don't wake up. I mean, there's churches out there will preach against healing. They'll tell you that God did it. Now, what's that going to do for your faith and patience? But they can't do it based on this. And they're good churches. They preach salvation all the time. Like what Jerry Savelle said, you know, the armor of God. They're running around naked except for the helmet of salvation. They don't know anything else. They just know they're saved. They got the helmet on, run around naked. I know we don't want to hear about waiting long, but I'm telling you, I've got beyond that to where it's good news where, hey, in Jesus, I'm waiting, I'm itching to get to this place. I'm not going to get there right now, though. I'll wait. So in James, let's see, back to James 1:3. You better keep a marker in James because we're going back and forth and we're always going to go back there. I said I'm itching to get there. Actually, the Word says we're redeeming the curse of the itch. But James 1:3 says, knowing this. So we know these things. We know what the Bible gives us. And I'm trying to emphasize this. Let's say God's telling you, I want you to build or to believe God and buy this building so you can minister to unwed mothers or what have you. You know, just for example. Well, you're not going to find the Bible saying, Brenda, thus saith the Lord. I want you to buy it. It's not in here. But we got a Holy Ghost in us. And how many know that the Scripture, He can speak to you in Scripture. And He can verify by the Holy Ghost. And He oftentimes will verify by other people. But I'm very careful about first having somebody prophesy over me that I never heard this before. It doesn't bear witness. Unless I know from the Spirit, and then somebody will confirm it naturally speaking. But let's say, you know, you've got to know you heard from heaven. And it's like Ed talks about with his call. If he didn't know he was called, you know, there's so much opportunity to quit because of the pressures. James 1:3, knowing these things, the trying your faith, work of patience. If you're going to have the victories, you know, some people say, well, you know, they make little light of patience, of cheerful endurance. And especially these days, we shouldn't do this. You know, like I told you this other time, like they say, well, that's not my strong suit. Patience just isn't, that's not me, that's not my strong suit. But I have other qualities, I'm okay otherwise. But you don't want to be making light of this, because without patience in these days, you will not have the victories. You'll not have what God has already given you. You won't have it. You've got to appropriate it. Am I saying you're always going to have to wait and wait and wait? No. Now, we've had instant things. We've had things happen quickly. But you got to be prepared to wait, especially if you're asking big. You know, let's say you're on the job, and you say you have some unbelievers that work with you. If your faith produced the result within a day, maybe a week, but every consistently, you're producing these results, and they know, you tell them what you're praying for, and there it is. Oh, by the end of the day, man, Mike's got it, yeah. By the end of the day, by the end of the week, oh yeah, there it is again. Hey, I'm going to get in on this as an unbeliever. I'm just going to get in. You know, it takes faith to please God. That's not faith. You know, that is walking by sight. So God, by His very nature, is going to cause these things in many cases to stand. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. Keep promising that. But turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And just a few pages over. My Bible is 3 or 4 pages to the left. So if we're going to have these victories, you have to have faith and patience, and there's no exception to that. To get from point A, where you are, maybe have believed God for your healing, but in your body the doctor says you have this, point A. But to get to point B, where you're walking in health, where it's not in your body anymore, literally, not some imagination, it's gone. Now yeah, you may have to stand against symptoms, but it's gone. Point B, to get there, you're going to have faith and patience together. The Bible says you need patience. In verse Hebrews 10:35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. See, I told you. The Bible says you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So, we don't want to cast away our confidence. You know, maybe God doesn't pay, excuse me, every Friday. Brother Hagin used to say that. He doesn't pay every week, but He does pay. It does pay to serve God. The Amplified says of verse 20 or 35, it says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence. This is one of the verses that I stood on prior to going to surgery. Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. It pays to serve God. I mean, I don't, you know, you may say, well, I've been doing this, I don't see anything. Well, did you take a breath? Did you just take a breath? Is your heart beating? You know, but there's things that are coming if you won't give up. It says in Galatians 6, we shall reap if we faint not. So a great and glorious compensation of reward. You have need of patience after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise, which is like the manifestation. So you say, well, I've been saying it for 2 years. What do I do? Well, if you did hear from God, you've got it by the word on healing or finances. And on finances, you know, some people think it's not God's will to be rich. Rich is not a four-letter word. It is a four-letter word, but it's not a bad four-letter word. The Bible plainly says Jesus died, took our poverty on Him so that we might be made rich. Where does it say that Seagram's is supposed to have all the money and have the jet planes to fly their liquor executive? Where does it say that all the ungodly are supposed to have the jet planes and the new buses? Where does it say after they wear out the new bus on their road trips, the big rock bands and all that, then they give it to a church that if they spend $50,000 to fix it up, we can pick up our kids with it maybe? Where does it say that? No, we got to flip this and realize what God's saying. You got to jog your thinking, think out of the box. I preach this thing in 1984 in the church, I thought everybody liked this message. And I realize now, probably 1% even heard what I said. Because I'm not putting myself up here, but I am anointed in the realm of prosperity and teaching it. I grew up in a household where things were talked about that were out of the normal. I mean, you don't have to limit yourself. And then as a dumb kid in high school, to fit into the peers, I said, "Lord, just let me be average." What a dumb thing to pray. Oh, you know, I don't think God took it seriously, but you don't want to be average. You want to be what God called you to be. So how did I get off on that? That was a good rabbit trail. You know, why should these corporations are fine. I am for businesses making money. I am not for socialism. I don't want to get on that, but I'm not for we're going to take from you so I can give to that person. Somebody said, I'm off right now. I'm furloughed. You furloughed? But you know what? I don't care because my source is God. I was working with Darlene Wednesday at the market, and somebody came by and said about the government furlough. I said, yeah, I'm here. I'm enjoying the day here. It's nice. And she said, oh, my husband, well, he's working. He's an ATF agent. And then she walked away and she said, but you know, the food stamps are coming out and all the benefits are going. And I don't say that badly if you need it. But if they don't need it, you know. But socialism will take from you who are just trying to keep, you know, you're working, you're diligent. And that's why we have to be in faith, so our diligence produces mega over and beyond our salary. And they're going to take from you and they're going to give to maybe a person. I don't care if they give it to somebody who needs it. But I have seen, and you have seen it too, those who flaunt the system, thumb their nose and think, ha, you're stupid, you're working, I'm on the system. And you'll be on a system. You'll find out one day when you stand before God. You know, we have to realize in this day, this is real. We will stand before God. We will, every one of us. And we need to pray for the awakening because there's such an entrenchment of give-me mentality. And even in the church, we all need to wake up. But you know, when the Spirit of God, when there's an awakening, they said in the 1700s when there was an awakening, when ships came into this country, miles off the shore, people cried out for ministers, supernaturally. There was an anointing. This country was founded on the basis of Jesus Christ and none other. So I'm looking for that again. And then, you know, and I don't hate those people, but you know, they need to wake up. And sometimes you want the logic of a baseball bat. But that's the flesh. So as time goes by and things haven't seemed to happen, it seems like you're further from it than when you started. We're going to find out whether I'm trying this or whether I'm doing it. Whether you're trying this or whether you're doing it. Whether you're really in faith and applying patience or whether we're trying something. Whether we're just, oh, we'll see what happens here. That's another phrase I'm going to watch that I say in the future. Oh, we'll just see what happens. No, we should know what's going to happen. And we're not, in other words, that connotates, and this is one of the things that aggravates me, the old que sera, sera attitude, you know. The no-fault religion. Well, not my fault. It's up to God. Not my fault. I didn't do anything, you know. Whatever will be, will be. That is an abomination to God. That's the talk of the devil. And yet, what percentage of the church, not this church, church, what percentage do you hear say that? That is sick. That is sick. Well, whatever will be, will be. No, you know, it's all up to God. No, most things in this earth are up to us to run by the word and implement things. Oh, that aggravates me. I got to watch myself when I'm around people like that. You just want to sit them down and say, oh, shut up and listen to what I'm going to tell you. But anyway, and there's probably times for that. So what is given by grace must be possessed by faith. Everything He gives us is that way. You know, He's given us all these things in grace, but the covenant people, the people of Israel, children of Israel in the wilderness, how many got into the promised land? Not many. So they had to possess it by faith. And remember, I'm talking about faith and patience together. So I'm sure down the road there, all those years, there's Caleb, there's Joshua, I'm sure they had to keep themselves stirred up. They heard from God. And they're probably at the campfires and Joshua looks over to Caleb, and Caleb says, yeah, we're going in. Yeah, we're going in. Yeah, they just stir themselves up. We're going in. And they were two that went in when everybody else didn't go in. So don't tell me the wilderness is going to teach you something. The wilderness killed them because they didn't get it, because they didn't listen. You know, that's like, I'm on this pet peeve, but you know, whatever will be, will be. Oh, God's in control. No, He is not. He's in control in heaven. When people say that, I just, you know, it's like then, it's, I can see them. They're like a ship out there with a sail, and whichever way the wind blows, there they go. Oh, now, oh, this is God. No, no, no. Oh, now this is God. I'll get off of that now. Okay. But they, everybody, I mean, Joshua and Caleb got to taste and live in what the promise was. Don't you want to take it? Don't you want to get rid of that junk? Don't you want to have the mega wealth? I mean, and rich is relative to you. Whatever you call it is rich. But I can think of jet planes. I can think of things to get the word out. So, no matter how much time it takes, no matter how many trials and how many challenges we face, real faith is fully persuaded because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He told you something in the past, if it was Him, it's the same yesterday, today, it's not going to change. That's why I said earlier, you can pick it up. Hebrews 6:12. I already talked about some of this, but anybody out there, anybody getting anything? I'll keep going whether you do or not. No, I know you are, because we prayed you would. 6:12, that you be not slothful. That means that you be not lazy. The Amplified says, The Amplified says, be not spiritual sluggards. I like that. You know, it's easier flesh-wise sometimes to be lazy than to believe God. And I already talked about the case of Asaroth, and that's what I was talking about there. This is not a lazy man's religion. This is not religion at all. This is Christianity. This is a way of life. So be not slothful. Be not lazy. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it takes both. So we're, you know, like I said, Josh and Caleb looking across each other at the fire saying, you going in? I'm going in. Yeah, God said it. We're going in. I'm going to take that mountain. Was it Caleb was 80 years old and he took the mountain? I mean, let's go. Where are you going to go? I'm going to Healingville. I'm going to Prosperity Town. I'm going to Miracle Flats. We're going to get this thing. We're going to go there. So, you know, like I said, if everything happened immediately, you wouldn't really know. Is your faith tested? Is your faith tried? You know, but you got to realize that God has demonstrated and proven His love for us and His faith in us. That's unquestionable. He's done that. But have we done that for Him? And I'm not talking about works where I got to prove myself worth, because Jesus has already licked the devil. We're already accepted. We've been made joint heirs. We're accepting the Beloved. But I'm talking about proving our faith. As I'm telling you, turn to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter 1, 7. This is what I've been wanting to get to. I believe God wants to emphasize this here in the middle of this message. Or near the end. I don't know where we're at. But so I want to take my time on this. I want to follow. I want to flow. And I want you to get this. God has proven and demonstrated His love to us and His faith in us beyond any doubt and question. But we have to prove ours to Him. And I'm not talking about works. I am talking about the trying of our faith that'll bridge now where we're at into the next age and the ages to come. I'm talking about something tangible that you're going to carry with you, the proving of your faith. That will provide a rank, so to speak, a rank for you or a position for you throughout all eternity in heaven and throughout all the ages to come. I'm talking about the proving of our faith, which will bring you reward obviously now if you stand, you're going to receive the result. But I'm talking about eternal rewards here. Mike Lozer and I were at a World War II roundtable Thursday night in Hershey. Yes, almost done, actually. And the speaker was a guy I know, Dorian and I know him, J. Ray Bickle. He's a friend of our family, and he taught at Northern Lebanon. I don't know if you remember the name. And I knew he was in the war, but I never knew he flew 35 missions over Germany. He was a navigator. And they had a lot of memorabilia there, but one of the things they had was a little plaque box with all his medals inside, Distinguished Flying Cross, all kind of medals. So he proved they stayed alive for 35 missions, which was not the easiest thing to do. Came back, his faith proved. They gave reward, they gave rank, they gave badges, they gave medals. So that's something he's carried throughout life. He's 90 years old now. And but just an amazing story. Just what a guy. By the way, guys, just hang on. I'm going to talk to Mike a minute here. We emailed his son, and this blessed me too, because his son, had him later in life, but his son and his wife are there and granddaughter. The granddaughter is Ray's wife who's passed on, has her name, and just blessed her. They were so supportive of him and family, just helping out and just helping him. And I said to Mike, I didn't know if he remembered me. Afterwards, I went up and I said, I'm Mike Arendo. He said, oh, he said, get out. I haven't seen you since your dad's funeral. So he's sharp. But he said, I wouldn't recognize you. It's been a while. So anyway, he did something. He proved something. They went on missions. They didn't go crazy. They stayed with it. And did that and got the reward. What I'm talking about, 1 Peter, I better get there and read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This life is our opportunity. I'm going to read the Amplified down in a minute. But this life is our opportunity. And, I think we've all gotten past the point of, I just want to get through and help me make it to the end, Jesus. And let's go on to heaven. No, let's get to the point, and I think we are there. I said this, I prayed this 30-some years ago. I said, Lord, I don't want to just get to heaven. I want your best. And, when you ask for the best, sometimes you go through some flack. you know that. But this life is our opportunity. Why should we rule and reign with him, as kings? Rule and reign as kings. How many saw the movie Narnia, the Narnia movie? It just blessed me when you saw those kids there as kings. But why should we reign as kings under his kingship, under his lordship? And why should we be able to go to Almighty God and call him our Father? Well, we can. Jesus has paid the price. But in the midst of this cursed, devil-filled, death-filled earth, world, we're standing. We can stand and prove our faith. And I'm not talking about something light here. You need to hook on to this. If you haven't, hook on now. In the midst of all this, all these feelings, you get these feelings. Remember that song, Morris Albert, Feelings? I'm amazed someday the feelings you can get. You have to get beyond that and realize now the Word says this, I don't care what I feel like, that's the way it is. In the midst of all this, and people mocking Christianity, and now you can't even hardly tell anybody you're a Christian in this country. And people that think they know something, well, I'm educated and you guys are fools, this is the way it is, Darwin, But in the midst of all this, we stand up and we say no. He said it, and I'll believe it till my last breath. And you prove it out. And Hebrews says there's some that didn't even receive the promise, but they were cheerfully enduring, that they might receive a greater reward. We're pushing into this. This is a new era. We're pushing into this now. So you're proving your faith in this realm. don't you realize this is the greatest time you could ever have? You're not going to have the opportunity to prove your faith once we get to heaven. And if you could have been a colonel and you end up as a major, you think, oh, kick me. I could have just done this instead of another week and I'd have had this. You know, if you're a buck private, you're going to, so to speak, you're going to love heaven. I'm not talking about that, but we want to fulfill our call. And I'm not saying you got to do this great and massive thing. You got to just do what God's called you to do, and you got to do it in faith, and you got to stand. I don't care if He's told you to take the trash out. If that's your only call in life, you're going to have obstacles on the way out there, and you got to be able to stand. I mean, we've learned long enough in life that there's no gravy train, so to speak. There is an enemy in this earth, but he's been defeated, and we don't have to let him rob us. So the faith test, the patience test. And this is saying, when Jesus comes, real proven faith is going to be praised and honored. It's going to be praised. When Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, when He comes, shall He find faith in the earth? Remember, faith and patience flow together. Real faith is not common. It's not common. It's not, oh, I got faith. That's just a common thing. No, real faith is not common. If something's precious, it's usually not common. It's usually rare or one of a kind, or, you know, there's not many of them. It's precious, so it's not common. Real faith is not common. If it's plentiful, it's usually cheaper. You know, if this was real easy and everybody just, faith, oh yeah. The whole church fell, yeah, yeah, we got it. Yeah, I got it. My grandchild said to the grandma, I got it. If it was that way, if it was common, it wouldn't be precious, would it? But there is an opportunity in this earth to prove this out. You know, people say, well, what faith are you? Well, you know, you could be in the faith of Presbyterian, not even born again. You could be what have you. You know what I'm saying? They throw that term around pretty loosely. But we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6, I believe it is. So we know it's precious. So we know that we need to stick to it. We don't need to be out here with scattered so much. When you scatter something, when you dilute something, it weakens. You know, yeah, you believe God for this, that, and you can believe God for a number of things at one time. But I mean, stay hooked on the main thing here. He's not going to give you so many things. You're so diluted. You're so spread thin that you just, you know, you got to maintain your faith. If it pleased Jesus when He talked about, well, He said, I've not seen so great a faith in all Israel, in all the nation. He talked about this. If it pleased Jesus when He was on the earth, if it takes place faith to please God, it certainly pleases Him now and throughout eternity. So, our faith, if it's proven and real, will be acknowledged and praised by God. Now let me read the Amplified on that. I thought I typed it in here, but I don't think I did. So this turns me on. I use the Amplified a lot, and I check it out to make sure it's legitimate. But 1 Peter 1:7 in the Amplified says, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold which is tested and purified by fire, this proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. To your praise, glory, and honor. I mean, we don't think about that, but there's going to come a time when you've proven this faith, when you've applied cheerful endurance and you've got it and you've proven it. You know, how do they prove gold? They heat it up. They take the ore and they put high heat on it, and a lot of the impurities evaporate. Some of them just separate. So, fire, you know, heat, pressure. But it's worth it, because I think this is really going to happen. When your faith is proven, Jesus is going to say, well done. It's going to redound, as it says, as honor and glory, to your praise and glory and honor. And we know we give Him praise and glory because He's allowed us to do it. But that is an amazing thought to me. So in Hebrews 12, you don't have to turn there, it talks about, let us run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. You know, we get into this, I told you before, I broke my wrist in high school. I couldn't play baseball, so I ran track, but I ran 100-yard dash. I was fast. But, you know, I couldn't run 100-yard that speed for miles and miles and miles. You can't do that. So we know this is an endurance race, this race of Christianity, cheerful endurance. We put on a gait. We get into this gait of running that we can maintain. And what I've found is as your faith and endurance is growing, that pace picks up. I fully believe this is an endurance race till the end here, but we're going to be moving as a church. I mean, not just a slow marathon of endurance. We're going to be picking up the pace, but it's a pace that we can and that we can maintain. And you know, we're the devil's biggest nightmare. So Ecclesia, I'm going to read these things to you. You don't necessarily have to turn there. You can if you want to, but I'm going to be flipping around here pretty quick. In Ecclesiastes, watch how fast I can find this. It's in here. I know it is. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8, it says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." You know, it's nice to start, but it's really good to finish, isn't it? It's really good to get that in your hand. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. Got it? Yeah, we looked at that in your Bible. It doesn't... You have a new living, don't you? It's a little bit different. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You know, like, oh, I got that. Oh, yeah, faith. Oh, that faith. Yeah, okay, yeah, all right. No, the patient in spirit. Then we need to realize you want to finish. I don't care if it takes 10 years, 20 years, what have you. Psalm 105:19 is talking about Joseph, says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And then with this in mind, Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint, excuse me, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small, it's narrow. So what does that prove? If you faint in the day of adversity, your faith is small. How many times have you heard people say, other denominations or other non-Christians, now that faith stuff doesn't work. That faith stuff, that's a slap in the face of God. Faith takes faith to please Him. I know somebody in our family one time said, don't tell me about that God stuff. But patience and endurance, He's going to come in. So this God stuff, like that's really honoring God, isn't it? So, but it doesn't prove this faith stuff doesn't work, does it? It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And it said about Joseph, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. All this means is, somebody says that faith stuff doesn't work. All that means is, no, they failed. They quit. They didn't get it. It means their strength failed. Doesn't mean the faith stuff doesn't work. All it proves is you quit. Your strength failed. You didn't continue on. You just, oh man, I'm going to try this giving stuff. You're going to try it? Oh yeah, I gave 4 or 5 times, didn't work, I'm done. Oh, you really hung in there. You know, or, I believe God for a week, you know, and okay, well, you're really something. But, and that's why I said, you believe God with your inner man. You have to have strength of preached word, anointed word, a word daily for spiritual strength, same as you eat every day. You know, of course, Proverbs 18:14, the Amplified says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. We use that. Kelly, remember that scripture? The strong spirit of a man. Gave that to Richard one time, and I believe it helped him. It helped me a lot. There's situations that supernaturally helped me. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him. I lost my place here. Where is my notes? The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. Man, I tell you, when you got pain or you got trouble, you need a strong spirit. It's going to sustain you. And what I've found is you don't just back off, oh, as long as I don't say nothing to you, devil, you won't hurt me, right? No, man, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him. I got to start getting strong. He's the one I'm going after with the word, and I get stronger and stronger. And the very thing he said I'm not going to do, that's what I'm doing. Now, you got to have some grit, a little bit of John Wayne in you, true grit. So when people say that the word of the Lord, they didn't try the word, I tried that stuff. No, the word of the Lord tried you, and you didn't make it. You washed out. The word is already tested and proven. This faith stuff, as they say, is already tested and proven. Don't you know this is good news for us? There is a sure foundation. You can always depend on this. It's a rock. You know, we're not going any lower. We're standing on this word. I heard somebody just actually do this. I'm not going under. I'm standing on the word. I don't stand on that, but I mean, I stand on the word, but I don't stand on the Bible, so to speak. But it's the truth. And I remember one time I was a new Christian. I was under such pressure. I was going through a divorce. I was starting a new job. And I remember where I was on the exit of Bethel, heading down the road, heading to Gettysburg. And I was just about, I thought I was going to die. So I just started speaking the word, pleading the blood, talking about the word. It was like life. I could feel it. It just came in me. And it's supernatural. When you're a young Christian, God's going to do more things like that. When you've been around a while, He'll do it. But you have to stand. And then you come up every level. And I'm not saying you gotta, just because you're a mature Christian, it's going to take longer and longer. It shouldn't do that. But, and you want to be careful, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, about putting deadlines on your faith. Unless God tells you. Unless God says, you buy that on this time agreement or on this contract where the person says, I'm going to sell this house, you pay me at the end of the year. Well, if God tells you to do it, do it. But I'd be very careful otherwise if God didn't tell you about putting time limits on things. Because I said, when you maybe stretch your faith, you got to expect, if it's big for you, where you're at, expect to wait, stand longer. So be careful about putting that on you. Because if you put these man-made, your idea of something that God didn't tell you, that can throw your faith for a while. But like I said, when you get some word and you realize, maybe this was 10 years ago and I did that and I messed up and I just put it aside. And I'm thinking, God did speak that to me and I can pick that up right now and go. You can do that. God's not mad at you. Turn to Romans chapter 5. We're moving towards the end here. Another scripture that confirms what we've been talking about. In Romans chapter 5. And starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that is good news. Like you wake, like I was talking about earlier, and you wake up in the middle of the night, and it's like sometimes you think, is the devil just waiting there at your bed, just waiting for you to wake up, and he's going to nail you? Well, if he is, I've learned, you don't let that fear grip you. I've been delivered from fear, but you know how many, I could give into it, but I'm not. You know, what does the word say about this? And you start thinking about it, meditating on it, and then all of a sudden, shut up, devil, you got nothing to say to me. And he's already gone. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are accepted and beloved. And I say about proving our faith, I mean, if you never proved anything out as far as getting the result, you believe God and you're born again. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm not saying that at all. You know, He has made us righteous. That we know. I'm talking about another realm. I'm talking about the proving of our faith. This is a precious thing to God. I'm not saying that we got to do works. I'm saying we have opportunity here. But, okay, by whom also, in verse 2, we have access by faith into this grace. How do you get into this grace? Is a faith that it might be by grace. Remember, faith and patience always go together. Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. This kind of sounds like James 1:3. The trying of our faith works patience. Now, the two words glory here in verse 2 and verse 3 are different words in the Greek. In verse 3 it says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. That word is, I'm not going to give you the Greek on it, but it means a connotation of boasting in God, of joy and rejoicing. So it's we rejoice in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation work patience, and patience endurance, and endurance hope, and hope makes not ashamed. Anybody who stands on the Word of God will not be ashamed. I suppose you could go through life and be put down all your life, be ridiculed. You don't have to be ashamed in God, first of all. Don't let it get to you. But I'll tell you one thing, when you get there, you won't be ashamed. And in this life, we don't need to be ashamed. Hope makes not ashamed. So, how do we glory in tribulations? You know, don't go there. But this is one of the scriptures I meditate on a lot. And I'm going to get over there just for a minute. And this just turns me on to 2 Corinthians. This type of message where, you know, I had a coach in high school. And I was kind of a nice guy all the time. And I didn't, you know, I was like the life of the party and all this and that. But I wasn't real boisterous or one of the tough guys. But my coach said to me, well, man, when you get on a soccer field, you totally change. You're like a tiger. And I was. I was a goaltender, you know what I mean? I put the fear of God in the lineman coming. I mean, I remember looking at a kid in Reading one time. I took a ball off his foot. He should have seen his eye. I mean, I'm not bragging on me, but there was something that totally turned. When I had the challenge, I had the opportunity, man, it turned me on. And by the way, I had the best record that my senior year, and I was voted most valuable player. Thank God. What I was getting at is, Jesus said, and you don't have to turn there, but Jesus said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And in my meditation time, one of those times between being awake and sleep, here in the last couple months, He came to me. And I'm not saying I saw Him, but He was like here. And He said, my grace. And I'm, you know, you're like this and that's, do you know what I mean? And that state, I love that, where you're not quite I don't know what it is, you're in the Spirit. He said to me, my grace. And then He said something that Charles Capp says. He said, the definition of grace, my willingness to use my power and my ability on your behalf, even though you don't deserve it, is sufficient. I got up and this is a scripture I've been meditating on for a lot. And then soon after that, I realized one of the things He's telling me is, and we know this, not only is He able, He's willing. My grace, my willingness. He is willing and able to do it for us. He didn't just say it for me. But it says, for my strength, my dunamis is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory, Paul said, in my infirmities, that the power of Christ, the power of the anointing, may rest upon me. I know about the anointing. If I can get the anointing, it's like on the soccer field, I was anointed. If I can get the anointing to do things, and not just preach and minister, but when you get the anointing, it just, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It just flows. You want it. You don't want to be without it. But then this scripture, therefore, Paul said, I take pleasure. You know what Paul went through? He said, I take pleasure, joy, in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for the anointing's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, this is opportunity. This is where you've got to get, okay, we got this challenge. Let's see what you got, devil, because I'm going to show you what I got in Jesus. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about in the name of Jesus, in Him. We can whoop Him, and because He's already been whooped, so to speak. But hope makes not ashamed. You know, you're not going to stand on the Word of God and be ashamed. In fact, it says in, I think it's Isaiah, for your shame I'll give you double. You know, yeah, you may look like a fool for a while, but then, you know, if we don't get it in this life, you should, but if you don't, you're not gonna be ashamed. It's gonna redound to your glory at the appearing of Jesus. So this hope we talked about, hope makes not ashamed, is an earnest expectation, joyful expectation. So what are we doing while we're operating this cheerful endurance? We're expecting. We're expecting results. There's something that was spoken to us as partners of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I don't know if anybody else is. I believe it was spoken for the body of Christ, but we took it as partners. This is a year of great grace. And you can expect your greatest blessing ever, because this is your great, great grace is upon us. This is your great grace, and we're well through this year, but things are happening. So walk in that. And you can get sassy with the devil, like I was saying. You know, we don't have to put up, we don't have to be afraid of him. We're not taking him on in our own strength. We don't want to do that because he'll beat you every time with that. But, you know, you can just say to him, you know, Mr. Devil, you picked on the wrong one. I just had this picture. I think it was 11th grade. You picked on the wrong one, buddy. Guy broke free. It's just me and the goal, and this guy, he broke free. The defense, they got by him. He picked on the wrong guy. Because I went out and took the ball off of him. And anyway, wicked Mr. Devil, you picked on the wrong one. You tell me I'm not going to get my healing? No, Jesus already got my healing. He's already bought and paid for this. He's already defeated you. You know what it says about in the pit of hell, Mr. Devil? He made a show of you openly, and I enforce that defeat. I do this. Do you do this? You need to do this. I enforce your defeat, devil. You know, the Bible says, I'm more than a conqueror. That means, devil, since you've been whooped by Jesus, I already whoop you. I whoop you. And then since I'm more than a conqueror, I make you eat it. You know what I mean by that? I don't get mean with anybody, trying to get mean with anybody except the devil. But I hate the devil, you should too. Because we are more than conquerors. You're not just defeated. You know, I'm going to make you eat it. I'm going to tell everybody. The longer it goes, the more testimony I got. The more I can encourage somebody. Oh, I had to stand 5 years for this, but I got it. Hey, maybe I can stand 5 years again. I'm going to make you eat it, devil. You know, I think about, you know, what are you doing in that? Okay, there's tribulation. You got pressure on you. The devil's telling you, you're never going to get it. You're never going to get it. You're never going to get it. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Did you ever hear that? It's been 10 years or it's been however years and you don't have that car. You don't have this money. You don't do this. You don't have this in your body. What are you going to do about it this now? And what's pastor going to think? Don't worry about what pastor thinks. He's not going to criticize you. He's not going to condemn you. When we're preaching these things, we're not up here. That's why I told you earlier about me missing it last week. You know, we're people. Yeah, we need to be examples. We need to not miss it. And I don't miss it that often. I'm not trying. But when the pressure's on, this is rejoicing in tribulation. This is joying in tribulation. Because you're tribulating, you know, like the lady said, the Bible says there's tribulation coming. I'm tribulating. She was enjoying it. When this pressure is on, though, you just got to turn it. And see, this is part of the trying of your faith worketh patience. Well, how do you develop muscles? You work them against resistance of weights. So when that happens, all this pressure, you just use it as a workout on the devil. Oh, so you're telling me this. Well, let me tell you what the word says, devil. And this is, like I said, we can be his worst nightmare. Think about Brother Hagin. I'm wrapping up with this. Brother Kennedy Hagin, of course, went home to be with the Lord. They said he had an incurable blood disease and a deformed heart. And they said some of the best doctors, I think he was even at the Mayo Clinic. He was young. They said, you know, people with this condition cannot live past 16. And I mean, when he's approaching age 16, it's starting to look like he's going that way. He's not going to make it. I remember hearing him say about, he'd be in the sick bed near that age, and he got a hold of Mark 11:22. Remind me where I'm at. This is God's side journey. Remember I said about the non-believers in your job or something. If everything starts happening, they're going to come in, but it's not. It's by sight. Brother Hagin, I was in Penn Harris when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1981. Then the next night, he had his healing line. And if you ever saw him or ever listened to him, you know he's talking about Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. I watched this, and he had a healing line. And at some point, he said, okay, that's it. You're the last one. He said, Spirit of God, tell me, anybody else coming up here, you're just doing it by sight. You're not going to get anything anyway. So anyway, but Brother Hagin, you know, on his deathbed, in bed, I remember hearing him say about it, it'd take him how long just to turn a page. You know, couldn't, you know, just weak. But he believed God, got the word of God. He came off of the deathbed, and he started preaching as a teenager. And he preached decades, 60-some years he preached. And think about how many times in live services and how many millions of books in all different kind of languages, even still. And how many tapes and now CDs and DVDs. You can go on YouTube, by the way, and plug in Brother Hagin and see lots of services. How many times that he, and he always told this. He'd always tell it. I was on a deathbed and God raised me up. And he's telling this over all the years. You know, the devil tried to kill him and he couldn't do it. He's telling people. And how many people were encouraged over the years? Well, if God did this for a 16-year-old boy, he can use his faith and get healed. He can do this for me. So there's the devil. Oh my gosh, why did I pick him? Why did I pick him to put this on? You know, why didn't I pick somebody who just would die? But no, there's Kenneth Hagin. He gets healed. And not only gets healed, he's got to tell it to everybody. He doesn't just shut up. That's what I'm talking about. Make the devil eat it. You got a testimony, and you got a testimony coming if you stand. Make the devil eat it. You know, he's not the hot rod he thinks he is. So if we know something, finish up with this last thought. I didn't say this is the last scripture. I'm going to read you one more in the Amplified. This may sound familiar to you because I really got on it last time. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Man, there's times I'm meditating on this right now. Lacking in nothing. That could be healing. That could be money. That could, you know, you exercise patience, cheerful endurance. And I'm trying to get this. And I want you to know what I'm talking about. When you feel like you're further away than when you started, but it's an indisputable fact, you're closer because time's gone. You know, but you feel like you're further away. It looks like you believe God for money, and now you got more problems with money. But your body feels worse. But you keep meditating and you realize, no, the Word says this, and you start doing. It starts coming up in you. You start meditating. This says, if I let it have full play and do a thorough work, I'll be without defects. That's another one I stood on with my eye. I'm not going to have defects. Lacking in nothing. You start to thinking, yeah. Oh, yeah, you get a little sassy with the devil. Okay, devil, you talk about this. Kids going flaky. Well, it ain't going to be that way. I just started declaring, we got a family that loves God and serving God. I got the peace of God. All the family got the peace of God to pass all understanding. And besides that, devil, I am totally whole from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I don't care what symptoms are there. You understand? Because this is the way you're meditating the Word. It's like you're chewing on this, and you get it's feeding spiritual strength into you. And besides this, devil, it says that Jesus himself died, took poverty on himself that I might be made rich. And then it says, my God is able. And he came to me and he said to me, I'm willing, you know, my grace, my willingness to use my power, my ability. Yeah, it says he's able, devil. And I'm not always talking to the devil. I'm not, but I'm just using an example. You don't have to be cowering back on the devil. It says, in fact, I'll say, Father, yeah, you said you're able, Lord, and you're willing. I mean, I got it made. I say to our granddaughter, Sadie, we got it made. You know, she's 8 months, looks at me like, but she's going to know, we got it made. You're able. You make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing. Come to me. I don't have to chase it. It says in Amplified, come to me in abundance so that I have all sufficiency. Shelley, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the need, no matter what the furlough, all sufficiency in all things. I said that to him the other day. You know, no matter, you know, oh, I got laid off. Oh, I got this. I got this. No, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the need, I have all sufficiency. Require no aid or self-support. And furnish in abundance for every good work. I got money to give. I can do tithing. I can give. You know, after a while, it's like, darling, where are you at? Let me preach to you. And she's already over there doing the same thing. And we come together and it's like, you can't talk fast enough. You know, I guess sometimes we talk and neither of us are listening. We're just talking to each other. But I tell you what, though, there's times some she says it's like, oh my gosh, that's the other piece of the puzzle I need. So husbands and wives and prayer partners, man, it's invaluable to stay on the Word of God. So I believe you got something out of this. Let's pray and wrap this up. Father, we thank you and praise you for your